Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. I'm the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today's guest brings a unique perspective to the podcast. He's working in a family-owned business while continuing a professional legacy that started with his father more than two decades ago. Connor Coe is part of the team at Lamar Advertising, one of the largest out-of-home media companies in the U.S., with thousands of billboards, digital displays, and transit advertising assets across the country. Lamar is a powerhouse in the B2B and B2C advertising space. Connor's father, Patrick Coe, has been with Lamar for over 21 years now. And now Connor is building a career of his own at the same company, bringing fresh energy, ideas, and a shared sense of purpose to the same organization where he grew up watching his dad thrive. Connor, welcome to Growing Up B2B. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's start with your current role. Tell us a bit about what you do at Lamar and what excites you most about the work you're doing.
Yeah, sure. I guess, first of all, Lamar is a OOH company. So what OOH is, out of home. The most common form of out of home traditionally is billboards. So my role here at Lamar, I'm an account executive for our New York City and New Jersey markets. I cover all five boroughs and then the entirety of Jersey down until probably around the AC Atlantic City area. And I'm responsible for a few different aspects. I look for new businesses to advertise on the billboards, as well as manage the current pipeline of businesses as well. I have a little hand in the marketing aspect and creative side, working with businesses to come up with the actual advertisement that goes on the billboard. But I don't want to toot my own horn because I don't do any of the actual creatives.
Understood. Out of curiosity, just give us a sense of magnitude. Like, how many out-of-home positions might be in that New York, New Jersey market alone? It's got to be huge.
Yeah, when you say positions, like...
out-of-home, actual billboards, actual out-of-home assets and opportunities for people to promote on.
Oh, 100%. In New Jersey alone, I'd say we have, this year's been a big year for us. So coming up on 90 plus just digital bulletins. And then I would say over 150, just the traditional static bulletins as well in digital combined as a total. And then New York City is a whole different ballgame. We have some pretty unique inventory. We have wallscapes that's all hand painted.
Wow.
We have digital newsstands in Bryant Park, Herald Square, and then in the different boroughs, the common kind of inventory you'll see are basically smaller versions of our traditional vinyl billboards. We call them posters and junior posters.
Okay. Okay. The wall murals, those got to have to be interesting engagements. Can you imagine what it takes to get one of those put together?
So the most famous wallscape I'd say that we have, I like to say, in all of Lamar, is there's a giant wallscape right outside of Madison Square Garden on 8th Ave and 34th to 33rd Street. Right now, it's Montefiore Health Systems here. They've been on it for a couple of years, but traditionally, that's one of our most just iconic kind of inventory that we have. And everything's hand-painted, too. So when you see it, you're like, wow, I can't believe this is hand-painted.
And a prime visible location too.
Exactly. Right outside of MSG, Penn Station. Yeah. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. So your father, Patrick, has been at Lamar for over two decades now. Talk for a minute. What was it like growing up, seeing what your dad did, having a little bit of visibility to the company, or did you not really see what he was up to? Did you have a sense of what he was doing when you were young?
Yeah, it's funny. I've always heard him a couple of buzzwords that are pretty common, like leases, amendments, real estate. So he does all the real estate for the Connecticut and Western Massachusetts region for Lamar. So
Okay.
he's working with landowners, business owners, just doing 20, 30-year leases or even longer or shorter. But I guess more on a personal level, like growing up, that's something that I definitely had no visibility on. The things that I remember are he used to bring home our large 14 by 48 vinyls that he would set up in the backyard and make giant slip and slides for me and my friends. So, like, it's,
Hilarious.
yeah, so it's like small things like that. Even when I graduated college, Lamar did a campaign for all of the recent Lamar family graduates. So he put my face up on a billboard saying, congrats.
Oh, cool.
On some of our digitals in Western Massachusetts. And that was also during 2020. That's when I graduated college. So it was an interesting time to graduate, to say the least.
Oh, it sure was. My goodness. But on the flip side, it's cool to see your face in light, so to speak, a giant billboard.
I even had some of my friends just, I'm like walking back, like I said, grew up in Massachusetts, just walking around town. They'll either text me or see me and they're like, you're on the billboard. I'm like, yeah.
You're famous. So, as you were maybe getting a bit older, beyond the slip and slide age,
Yeah.
did you always envision yourself joining Lamar, or did that come later as your career goals evolved, Connor?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was just graduating college, my interest was actually more on the digital side. So I was hoping to do things in social media or work for a marketing agency. That was because my degree is in communications. That's what I was hoping for. I didn't expect to join Lamar right out of college. I think the biggest thing was, like I said, I graduated in 2020. The job market wasn't great, especially for recent college graduates, and especially myself wanting to move down to the greater New York City area. There was only, for me specifically, a lot of just sales jobs that were open. So I did a few sales jobs, and honestly, I'm glad I went that route instead of joining Lamar right away, just so I can build my sales experience, get comfortable with the uncomfortable of sales, which could be cold calling, meeting new people. And then I think it actually worked out timing-wise perfectly where I came into Lamar, New York, having 3 to 4 years of sales experience. And now I could hit the ground running and skip the learning curve a little bit when it came to the sales aspect.
So coming out of school, did you have a sense that sales profession was the general direction you wanted to head in? Were you pretty set on that as you were coming out of school?
Not at all.
Okay.
I didn't want to do it. That was actually what I wanted to do the least. Like I said, just over the years doing different types of sales. So I started off doing telecom sales for working for a third party for the city in New York City. And then I went to doing staffing and recruiting for tech and data science. And now complete 180 doing ad sales, out of home sales.
Yeah.
But this is by far my favorite type of sales, just because it's more interpersonal. I'm going out and actually meeting with my clients, sitting down with my clients, meeting new clients, doing things like this, where I feel like I'm making more of an impact. And it's just from a personal level, it resonates with me more than just the transactional sales that I was doing before.
And you definitely picked the two very, I'll say, highly competitive categories to learn your craft. My goodness, staffing is incredibly competitive, as is telecom. Not to say that out of home isn't, but comparatively speaking, it's not just tough to get somebody on the phone. It's you and 10 others, know, that they're talking to.
Exactly.
So good for you for surviving that.
Thanks.
I don't know that I would.
That's funny.
As you were going about your journey, maybe even pre-Lamar, what kind of advice or maybe what kind of example did your dad set that kind of helped you orient to where you were going? Like, would you and he have conversations as you were coming out of college about career, and what kinds of things was he imparting on you at that time?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's funny. I would say it's less on what he has said to me and less on our conversations. It's more on the example that he's just set for his entire life. He was a former college athlete. He played football at UMass.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I myself, former college athlete, played lacrosse at Manhattanville University. So it's more the little things of getting in early. When you're there, being productive, going 110% at all times, giving maximum effort, and then also being accountable, being a good teammate. If I'm not afraid to ask my coworkers for a piece of advice or what they would do in this situation, and I hope they would feel the same way about me. And then it's just being accountable. We, at the end of the day, like Lamar is a business. Our market has to make our numbers for the year. So it's being accountable to the rest of the Lamar corporate and my bosses to do my part in it. So it's the little things like that he's just instilled in me. I wouldn't say, any conversations that really stood out, but I would say it's more the little things.
So just by virtue of observation and influence.
100%, yeah.
And I can honestly attest to any of the guests that I've had on who, myself included, who played collegiate sports or higher. In fact, I interviewed a fellow yesterday who was at a few years with the Detroit Tigers. So, but I think what's common and what I've often seen is there's a foundational drive and a desire to succeed, and not surprisingly, a desire to win, because that's what high-level sports is really about. It's about competing and with the intent to win. So I think a lot of times former athletes carry that into their business life and carry that same drive and mentality and focus and going about their work with great intent, as you must do when you're a college athlete playing lacrosse or football or whatever the sport of choice.
Yeah, especially with sales as well. There's a lot of
For
aspects
sure.
between playing sports in general, doesn't have to be college, and sales, just having that mindset to always be hunting and for new business and working hard, and you just don't want to sit back and rest on your laurels.
Yeah. As you do, you're dead. Maybe
Exactly.
not today, but it's I've heard a couple of great anecdotals from a past guest. One said, especially in a business development capacity, make time now so you don't have time later. Because if all you have
Yeah.
is time later, you're in trouble.
Exactly.
And the other part of the piece of advice, the difference between great success and doing good is one more thing. So he said, I always try to strive to do one more thing before I end my day. And that one more thing often makes the difference between
100%.
a win and not. But again, both who I'm referencing, former D1 athletes. So not surprising, maybe. Okay, so along comes this opportunity at Lamar. Talk about that. And did you and your dad have how that came to be and how the conversations with you and your father transpired around that time?
Yeah, it was funny. It was pretty casual. So I was, I don't want to ever talk bad about my former employers. I'm just going to say I realized at one point that the direction that my position was going, and I just didn't see a future at the business. So I was casually just looking elsewhere. Both my parents were aware of it, and my dad has known our general manager here at Lamar, New York for 10, 15 years. So they talk every now and again, and he just happened to see that there was not only a sales role open, but there was actually a real estate position open here in New York. So I was thinking like, ooh, real estate, that's something my dad does, but it's also different than sales. That sounds interesting. So he was able to just facilitate a conversation, and that was it. Basically, he was like, Connor, I'll connect you via email with Chris, who's our GM here in New York City. But after that, I want absolutely nothing to do with it. This is all you. And that's how our relationship got started with Lamar. And it's to an extent, it stayed like that. It has stayed like that. I would say every now and again, we will talk shop, but it's not, he doesn't do sales and I don't do real estate. So it's more of our talking shop. Is more of hearing about his day to day and his wins and his losses, or just like anything that their office is doing. And it's the same thing with me as well. My wins, my losses, anything that I've been stuck on. But in terms of us like actually like being correlated or interactive, it's two separate markets. So they're pretty different markets as well.
So it's really not a sense of, I don't know, let me ask you the question. Your dad maybe opened the door, but ultimately it was you that walked through it and was able to win the opportunity to the position. That said, though, your father being legacy in the company, 20 years, 20 plus years, you new to the company, comparatively speaking. Do you feel a sense of legacy relative to, hey, I'm Patrick's son, so maybe I have to go a little harder. Maybe I have to do it a little better than the other guy. Or do you feel that in your day to day? If so, how?
Good question. I would say in my interview process with Lamar, I felt it a little bit. And then I would say the first month or two, I felt it. And then I was just like, no one outside of my two bosses at our office knows who my dad is. They didn't even know that he worked for Lamar.
Okay.
So then I was like, okay. It's a clean slate. And then just like I would say early on, like I did feel a little bit of pressure just knowing that both my bosses knew my dad and have they have like corporate events every now and again where like all the bosses from different regions will meet. That's happened. So I was like, oh, I wonder if they're talking about me. But honestly, I would say besides like really the initial first couple months of Lamar, after that, it's really just been the polar opposite of nope, this is all me. Like I don't want to say I don't care if they speak, but at the end of the day, like he has nothing to do with my relationship with my bosses and my coworkers here and my clients and anything like that. So it's really just like that realization of this is all me and the training wheels are off. Thanks for helping me get here, Dad, but it's my time to fly now.
And now it's on you, and it's really, yet he's still out there, he's still working, maybe for another 10 or 20 years, who knows, right? There's certainly that influence, but basically it sounds it's at arm's length, not by design per se, but just by virtue of circumstance. Where you are is just in a different area of the company than where he is. So it's not a situation where you'd be crossing paths every day. If you probably, it sounds like you don't hardly cross paths at all.
So I wouldn't say we've crossed paths at all, but I crossed paths with his office. So
Oh, okay.
there's just because Connecticut and New York are so close together, there's naturally some overlap with certain clients wanting to do billboards in both Connecticut and New York.
Right.
So I've had a couple interactions with their sales manager, Jim, their general manager, and then a few of their AEs just because of that overlap naturally. But like I said, he's also on the real estate side. So like every now and again, like I'll hear the real estate guys in my office be like, oh, I just got the phone with your dad. He says he hopes you're doing well. Like just things like that, but nothing like specifically.
Okay. When there are all company gatherings, do you guys sit together or are you not allowed to sit together?
I haven't been put in that position yet, honestly. Unless there's a chance that I get promoted to possibly like a sales manager one day, that would be interesting. And we'll cross that path when it happens. But we haven't had that opportunity yet. I've had events with his counterparts in Connecticut with sales and the general manager, but not him specifically.
Okay. So it sounds like you're carving out your own path, very much distinct from him. Although he's, as I said, he's out there, and I suppose he's still available if you ever did have a, hey, could use some advice. He still makes himself available for all that stuff.
100%. I've even asked him just to see if he did know anything about sales, just to like when I like if I'm like home for a week, say like Thanksgiving's coming up in like a couple months, like I'll be home for probably 4 or 5 days. And if I get a request, like and he's right there, I'm like, oh hey, like what are your thoughts on this? Typically his response is like, I have no idea, ask your sales manager. I'm like, yeah, okay. Thanks, Dad.
At least he's honest.
Yeah.
So, at out of home has obviously changed a lot, especially with some of the digital capability and data-driven tools. Talk about that for a minute. What trends and what's coming right now, Connor, that's really exciting you in Lamar's space as it relates to out of home?
Yeah, so out of home is just ever growing. Like I said, when we started this podcast, I think I mentioned out of home, OOH. Traditionally, people think of billboards, right? It's certainly grown from the Lamar aspect of we have the digital newsstands, we have the wallscapes, we have all the different types of inventory. But if we're speaking outside of Lamar, when you go to New York City, you're seeing different like bike drivers that have advertisements on the back. We have taxi cabs at tops of those. We had subway ads. I've even seen, which is pretty funny, Ed, I saw this on LinkedIn a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago. There is this company, I forget what it's called, but their type of out of home is in fortune cookies, and they do all the ads inside of fortune cookies.
Okay.
And I was like, that's interesting. It's unique,
Yeah.
standalone right there. But people can get super creative with the different types of out of home. I would say something that's really taken off with out of home with Lamar and also in general is digital out of home. Like, for example, we have so many static billboards over the years that we've been converting to digital. And then just obviously, and you think of New York City, there's Times Square, there's the full motion capability, there's the 3D ones that really stand out. Our Bryant Park and Herald Square digital newsstands, they have the full motion capability. So you'll see a lot of, I would say specifically for those ones, a lot of clothing brands do quick 8 to 10 second videos, but on all screens, you can put QR codes on those ones as well. So it's really good for just brand activations. But short answer to your question, digital out of home is certainly the up and coming thing, and that's something to keep an eye on.
So that being said, do you think that there will always, and I've seen both, and yes, it is quite impactful, and do you think there will always be a place for that static out of home? Do you think there, are we going to a future where digital will just dominate the landscape, or do you think there will always be a mix?
I think there'll always be a mix. I still think there's, like I said, I don't want to say anything with Lamar that's above my pay grade. This is just me just
Yeah.
speculating. I still think that there's going to be a mix. Short answer to your question. I will say, though, the way that things have been going, I wouldn't be surprised if from an out of home just universe, the digital keeps growing, but I don't see a scenario where those static vinyl boards go away.
Okay. And I would also think that when it comes to, say, a metropolitan area, Times Square, there's different rules of engagement than when you're driving down a major highway out in New Jersey,
100%.
terms of what you can do and what you can't do, so as not to have 10 car accidents because everybody's looking at a really cool.
Exactly. No, so it's funny you mentioned that. So there's a couple of things that kind of come to mind. So we've had a lot of like businesses wanting to do out of home with us. So there are a couple of things. One is QR codes. We can't put that up on, say, like a highway bulletin or digital bulletin because that's instantly hazard to the driver and all the surrounding cars. And it's the same thing with full motion creatives as well. So that's something that we were not able to do on any highway or just wherever there's a lot of vehicular traffic. But for example, the digital newsstands that we have, Bryant Park, Herald Square, full motion capability because the majority of the audience is foot traffic. And that's something you could put QR codes on if you wanted. It's the same thing with Times Square as well on a more grander scale. But when it comes to the traditional, let's just say, out of home that you'll see on highways and things like that, it definitely, the simpler the better because you don't want it to be a hazard to drivers.
So are those types of, I'd say, rules of engagement or rules of creative, are those typically governed state by state or down to the municipality? Are they, is it usually like New York has certain rules and then New Jersey has different rules, or is it common across states?
I would say it's pretty common. New York is truly a different beast than any other, not just Lamar markets, but any market, just because it's predominantly foot traffic compared to driving. But yeah, I would say like for Lamar, for example, we only have one other market, and I'll be honest, I forget which one it is, that has some full motion capability digitals, but most of our markets just are traditional statics and then the static digitals. But yeah, to answer your question, I think it's just really like case by case.
Okay. Bringing it back to the company as a whole, what would you say that Lamar does particularly well when it comes to maintaining a strong internal culture as well as encouraging long-term relationships with its personnel, much like your dad, 20 plus years is a sizable number of years. So what do you think it is about Lamar that keeps people like yourself, like your dad, happy, engaged, positive about representing the company as a whole?
Yeah, I think Lamar does a really good job of keeping everything in-house. And when I say that, most of the Lamar markets, the specific offices for that market are generally small. So for example, like I'm in the New York City office. We are the largest market in all of Lamar, and we only carry around 9 to 10 sales reps, and we have a couple of real estate and support staff. So there's less than 20 people in our office. And this is like this across every single Lamar market. I just think that just all stems from corporate of just being tight-knit, wanting to work together. And I think the one thing that I've realized with working at Lamar is everyone wants you to win. And for example, like my sales manager from the day that I have started has set me up to be or put me in places with opportunities to win and to grow and to learn. I remember the first like few weeks, a lot of one-on-one time with him. He would send me out to go what we call prospecting. So I was going to different parts of New York City, different parts of New Jersey, trying to find potential new businesses to work with. And then he would come back and tell me like which businesses maybe we already work with or which ones were a good find or things like that. And then just always, if there's people calling in, they have a whole system of delivering those to different sales reps as well. But I would say the other aspect of it, which is unique to Lamar, is because there's so many markets, there are always internal opportunities to go to a different market. So I think if you're open to moving, then that creates a greater opportunity to even get that promotion that maybe you wouldn't be able to have in the current market that you're in, which is pretty unique. So they always are posting different internal opportunities, but that's a unique part of Lamar that I like.
Cool. Given that you and your dad sort of function in different capacities in the company, and when you've probed him on sales acumen, he said he defers to your sales leadership. Have there been any kind of moments or milestones that you have exchanged with your dad that stand out, such as like when you found out you got the job? Did talk about moments like that, if you would.
I would say, I'm just trying to think of specific ones. I think my first deal was a big one. I was working with the Salon Professional Academy down in Howell, New Jersey. And that happened within the first few months. And I just remember just that elated feeling because it's like your first deal, like you got it over the line. And we were really able to, at least I think, make a pretty big impact on the business. But more so back to your question of sharing that with my dad, he just was like, he was just obviously very proud of me. But then also at the same time, you go back to that athlete's mentality of, okay, like you had a win. Now we need to get more of them. And how are you going to get more of them? What did you do? What can you learn from this situation and apply it to all the next future wins and hopefully not as many losses? But what can you learn from this? What he brought to my attention. I was like, you know what? You're right. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I want to stay right here.
That's excellent advice, and it's sometimes challenging when you get a big win, whether it be your first, your 10th, your 100th, whatever. There's that feeling of elation, and then there's also that, okay, let's bring it back down to neutral because we're not done. Maybe we're done with that one for now, but we're not done.
Exactly. And there's been a few, I would say, like I said, I'm coming up on this December will be 2 years with Lamar. And there's been a few that I've just happened to be home in Massachusetts with them. And obviously I'm checking my phone and I've just casually brought up on the situation. And you know, sometimes it's taken a week, sometimes a deal has taken a couple months, 6 months, and it's more when those come into fruition that I'll share like the success stories, and they're always just pumped and got my back. And even as like parents, it's like I post, for example, if I post something on LinkedIn, they'll repost it, or if I post something on Facebook, they'll repost it to their network. It's even just like small things like that that both my mom and my dad do. So.
Speaking of your mom, I didn't ask this before, but when you started to explore this opportunity, did she have any things to say about it? Did she chime in on that? Any thoughts from her that she offered up?
Question. I'm trying to think. She just It just goes back to any opportunity, whether it's Lamar or not, just put your best foot forward and don't take your foot off the gas. Being the mom that she is, she's like, you always got a support system here, honey. If you ever need to talk, if you want to call or vent, if it's about Lamar, like I could talk about it. You don't have to talk to your dad. And just the classic mom stuff that,
Yeah.
which is always, reassuring, great to hear. But I can't say anything like in particular that really stood out to me.
Okay. This is, I think, an important question for our listeners, because your scenario, while a little bit unique, is not totally unique to other scenarios where you've joined an organization where a parent has a presence and a long tenure. So for others who might be thinking about going down the same path, hey, I'm thinking about joining this company. My mom or dad has been there for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it might be. What might be a piece of advice you'd give somebody that's considering that path?
I think first and foremost, have a conversation with that parent. And then I think to really define the relationship you want to have at work if you do get that job prior to starting that job. For my instance, I'm pretty removed from my dad, which works for me. I can do my own thing, but I have friends that, for example, taking over the family business, right? And they are working every single day with their parents, and it's a little bit different. It's funny, I'm gonna bring up a comparison that my parents have made before, but it's like when I joined Lamar, it was like the Lakers drafting Bronny James. So you have Bronny and LeBron on the same team. They always like to make that comparison, and then it's there was early on in those interviews, you'll see, is Bronny going to call LeBron dad, or is he going to call him LeBron, or is he? So it's just things like that to go over, I would say, prior to starting it, that whole journey, as you may, I would say. That's probably the biggest thing. And then really just get that direction you want to go from there, and then got it.
Awesome. So, looking ahead in your role at Lamar or in the industry in general, what are you really excited about right now? When you look ahead, what's exciting you? What's getting you amped up and excited for the now or for the near future?
Yeah, so I think something that I mentioned to you pre this podcast was that Lamar recently is now a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to be the rep that is going to be down there now, going to different events every month. They have this business bash coming up that I'm excited to integrate myself with the community down there and just get to meet hopefully some potential businesses or just leaders in the community that we can hopefully make a difference with their business and their reach within the community, whether that could be it could be local politics, it could be mom and pop shops, it could be literally a giant healthcare company, it could be a lot. Like I'm just spinning out anything here, but I'm just excited to integrate myself down there because this is something that's going to be new for me. I've done a little bit here in Hoboken. That's where I live right now. But we don't have any inventory in Hoboken. So this has just been more like word of mouth, even like here in the city as well. But in terms of Lamar, like I said, I'm not at liberty to say anything that's above my pay grade in terms of any like expansion or anything like that. That's something that I can't speak on. But specifically for me, the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, I'm pumped about.
Nice. And good luck with that.
Thank you.
Last question. If somebody wanted to connect with you to learn more about you, your story, or more about opportunities to leverage the resources of Lamar, what's the best way for them to connect?
Yeah, 100%. So either I would say phone, email, or even LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn, but I would say the quickest response you'll get from me would probably be by email. My email is ckeough, which is ckeough at lamar.com. I'm not sure if you do any links in the bio or anything or in the description, if you want to throw that in there as well.
We absolutely will, and we do. Awesome.
Okay.
Connor, thanks so much for sharing your story. It sounds like you've come from amazing family, great both mom and dad, amazing people, and it sounds like great mentors and guides in your life. And you're sharing and showing how generational influence can certainly shape not just where we work, but how we show up and how we grow our careers. So again, listeners, we've been speaking with Connor Keough of Lamar Advertising, part of a multi-generational journey inside one of the country's top out-of-home media companies. And I'm Ed D'Elia, and this is Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Connor, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.deleonet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at deleonet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.